Amen. In our epistle lesson, read earlier today, Paul says, "But how are they to call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in Him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." Well, there were certainly a lot of beautiful feet around here this week during Vacation Bible School. There were many people helping to share the good news. Whether it was actually teaching the Bible lessons that Corey and some of the other leaders did, or reinforcing the point with crafts, or even with the snacks, reinforcing the point of the Bible lessons, or cooking hot dogs and leading the cheers. There were a lot of cheers. That good news that was shared is our victory. Our victory over sin and death and the devil and over hell. Victory through Jesus Christ. Our Vacation Bible School, praise be to God, it pointed to Christ. Why do we point to Christ? Paul says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of Christ. Paul says this because we're justified by faith, not by works. All that can be done, all that must be done for our salvation, it all has been done already by Jesus Christ, Christ alone. The price for our sins has been paid already on the cross by Jesus Christ, once and for all. A once and for all availing sacrifice for everyone, for all time, through Christ. All that's left for us is just to reach out and grab hold of that promise, believe the promise of salvation. Paul says, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved." I love the way Mary Sue read it earlier. You will be saved. So right now, I'd like you to repeat after me. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. There you go. And if you believe in your heart that He's raised from the dead, you will be saved. It's a simple message. It's a simple message because it's all done now through Christ. Justification by faith alone. Well, between now and salvation, we've got a ways to go. So let's take a look at one of our favorite disciples, or my favorite disciple, Peter. Today's gospel, according to Matthew. Matthew tells us it's the middle of the night. Fourth watch of the night, he says. And the disciples are out there on the lake, on the Sea of Galilee, trying to make it across to the other side. Only thing is, they're in a boat without Jesus. They're a long way from land. They're being beaten by the waves. The wind is against them. You ever feel like that? You ever feel like, I don't know where Jesus is? I'm going through these troubles in my life, and I don't see Jesus. Where is He? Where is He in my life? I feel like I'm being beaten by the waves. I feel like I'm rowing into the headwind. The wind's against me every day, and I'm tired. And sometimes it feels like that wind and the waves are striking me in the face, pelting me in the face. Somebody in my family is hurting. Maybe I'm hurting. Or I'm struggling. I'm struggling with sin in my life. I can't shake it. Where's Jesus in that? Well, the disciples see what looks to be like a ghost walking on the water. And they're terrified. Fear. Fear in their hearts. What's going to happen to me? Am I going to make it? Am I going to die now? Or soon? They think it's a ghost. It's a ghost, they say. But it's Jesus. It's Jesus coming toward them. And He speaks to them. He calms their fear. He says, "Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." So Peter says, "If it's you, Lord, then command me to come on the water with you." And I love this part. Jesus says, "Come." So Peter gets out of the boat. Can you imagine that? Getting out of the boat. Right? And he's standing on the water. And he starts walking to Jesus. Now this is the part that I want you to figure out. Okay? Now does he go over the waves? Or maybe this. Maybe he goes on top the waves. Over towards Jesus. What do you think? What would you do? What would you do, Tyler? On top of the waves, I bet, right? Yeah. He's walking on top of the waves. Going to Jesus. It's good. It's good. The only thing is, he starts to lose sight of Jesus. He starts to see, "Look, I'm walking on top of the waves." He's not looking to Jesus. And then he starts thinking, "Huh, I'm walking on top of the waves." Waves, and these are kind of big waves. Waves that could drown me. And the wind is still coming. And the waves are still coming. And all he sees are the wind and the waves. He's not looking at Jesus. He loses sight of Jesus. He loses sight of Jesus. And he starts to sink. Doubts come and assail him. Fears come and assail him, and he starts to sink. But where does Peter turn? He looks back to Jesus, and what does he say? "Lord, save me!" And immediately Jesus reaches out and takes hold of him. Did you notice that Matthew says, immediately Jesus reaches out and takes hold of him and lifts him up and brings him back into the boat? That's what Jesus does for each one of us. You and me. Sometimes he calls us to come. We go. And when we're assailed by fear and doubt, which do come, and when we're assailed by sin and our struggle with it, he reaches out and he saves us. When we're mired in doubt and we don't know where to look, But if we look to Jesus, if we say, Lord, save me, He does. He reaches out His hand and He saves us. Even when we don't know how to come to Him, He reaches out and saves each one of us. Christ will rescue us. You know that. Now, it may not be exactly the way we expect. It may not be exactly the way we want. Look what happened to Peter. Did he put Peter back up on the waves to walk on the waves? No. He got Peter in the boat. In the boat with the other disciples. God's got a plan for each one of us. Just like He had a plan for Peter. Peter became the leader of the church in Jerusalem and beyond. Really all of the early church. Part of God's plan of salvation. That's Peter. And the same way He had a plan for Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles. Paul, the one who wrote this beautiful, magnificent letter to the Romans. And it's a letter for us to read here today. And Paul spends the first half of his letter saying how he had struggled. How he had struggled with the law that Moses gave to, the law of God that Moses gave. This righteousness, if you live by the law, you will live. And Paul goes through this letter to the Romans and he pours out his heart and says, I struggled with this. I couldn't do it. Neither can you. But I couldn't do it. He spends a whole chapter, 7, saying, the good I want to do, I can't do. This flesh that clings to me, I want to do the right thing, but I don't. Time and time again. He struggles. Individually. And he points to Christ. He says, Christ is the one who saved me. That whole thing about righteousness by the law is over. It's been fulfilled in Jesus. Jesus did it for me. And for you. So now we live by the righteousness of faith. Faith which all it does is take hold of the promises of God. Take hold of the promises of Jesus, which are the resurrection from the dead. And Paul feels like he has been raised from the dead. Early. And then Paul realizes that he's not in it alone. That's why he's writing to the Romans. That's why he's the apostle to the Gentiles. That's why, for 3 chapters, he spends thinking about his family and his heritage and the people he knows in Jerusalem who don't believe. And he says, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile. We all fall short of the glory of God, but we're all in this together because Christ came for each one of us and for all of us. That's the good news. That's the good news, the victory that we have over sin and death and hell and doubt and fear and the wind and the waves that assail us every day of our lives. In this life, we've got the victor right with us. Look to Him. And when the wind and the waves assail you, get into the boat with the other Christians, the other followers of Christ. We're in this together. We get in the boat to go to the other side, and we don't know what it looks like on the other side. As we go through this visioning process at Holy Cross, we're in this together. We're going where the Lord's leading us. And it's not what I want individually. It's not like I can say, well, I'm only going to get into a certain kind of boat. And once I get in, I only want a certain seat. I want to sit on the starboard side with a good view. And I'm only going to row with a certain kind of oar. And I'm only going to put up a certain kind of sail. And I'm only going to steer if it's a Tuesday at 8 o'clock or whatever. It's not what about what I want. It's about where God is taking us together as we look to Christ the whole time. And where does He take us to point others to Christ? Because what Paul is saying here in the 9th and 10th and 11th chapters of Romans is he's saying, look to Christ. Christ is the salvation of the world. And we're part of it. He enlists us, like Peter, like Paul, like all of the disciples, like you and me, for the salvation of the world. Your feet are beautiful because you're part of the salvation of the world. This little corner of it in Clarence, New York. That's God's plan. That's God's plan for you and me and us together. And it's for people. Jews or Gentiles. Romans or non-Romans. Americans, Canadians, whatever. God's plan is to save people. And oh, by the way, His plan isn't to save the boat. It's not about Holy Cross as an institution. It's about the people who are here, who are being made disciples. And it's the people out there who need to hear about Christ, the one who saves them from the wind and the waves that they face in their lives too. That's what it's all about. That's what we're here for. That's what Christ comes to us for. Christ comes here in this nave, this boat of a church, in His Word, His holy Word, spoken and preached to you, and in His sacraments, baptism and Holy Communion. There's Christ. We believe in the real presence of Christ. He's here in the boat with us. That's awesome. So if He says to you, come, walk on the water, do it. When I went to the Sea of Galilee, I sank, okay? I didn't walk on it. Some of you asked, but believe me, I sank. That's not my calling. But whatever our calling is together, that's what we will do. And we will be assailed by the devil. We will be assailed by doubt or by temptation or by whatever struggle he throws at us. But the solution is to look to Christ, just like Peter did. And He will take our hand. He will pull us out back into the boat to bring us safely aside to the other shore. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. Truly, He is the Son of God. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, and He will raise you too, because that's what it means when He says, you will be saved, body and soul, to life everlasting. Amen.